I'm Emma Curtin, host of a new true crime podcast called Murder Archives. It's set in Toorak in 1929 about the murder of Norma Rees-McLeod. Search for Murder Archives where you're listening right now.
I saw some things on the way in. Three things, but that I won't take too long on either one. Right. But I'll ask you, okay? Because this is what I was thinking.
Mm-hmm.
I saw an ad for Phil Collins is coming to Australia.
It's called Not Dead Yet.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah, Not Dead Yet. Still Not Dead. Or
what's he going to open with? He couldn't open with Levin. What is it? Air Tonight. I feel it in the air tonight. Surely.
I can't stand Phil Collins.
I used to be, but not anymore. I did a sketch with him, but that's another story.
You did a sketch with Phil Collins. Yeah, I'm sure he's a lovely guy.
Yeah.
Let's see his wife for his nanny. Broke up by fax. That's the Phil Collins story.
You know stuff. Describe for me the classic person that will be going to that concert. What do they look like?
Me, but a bit fatter, a bit balder. It'll be a middle-aged person, because also it goes back into Genesis, doesn't it? So yeah. A bit older than me.
Comfortable shoes.
I reckon 56, yeah. 57.
Yeah. Probably come in, would have come on public transport.
Yeah,
maybe had a walk through the park on the way there.
One of the few times they come into the city, I'd say, for the Phil Collins concert.
Yeah,
I don't think Phil Collins is he's not like AC/DC or he's not like a massive bogan act, but he would still get a lot of people from the outer suburbs and country. Maybe Phil Collins. He was never cool. Put it that way, I don't think Phil Collins was ever cool. So like you know, Brian Ferry's playing.
He's still cool.
He's cool. Yeah. I would love to see that. I should go.
A lot of people turned on Phil Collins, didn't they?
Yeah. The old leaving the nanny.
Yeah. Okay, so that. Nanny. What else did I see? I saw a sign for a thing called Scooty.
Oh, is that a new Zumba or?
No, it's a Uber version, a scooter version of Uber.
They do that in Indonesia. It's big in Indonesia.
So a random person turns up
and you jump on the back.
And you jump on the back.
Wow, it's like being on holidays in Bali. Wow. I would not do that.
No.
And I tell my kids not to do that.
And I would have called it Scuba.
Scuba? Oh,
much better name.
Dink. Give us a dink.
I remember I used to go to Scouts. My brother would come and pick me up on his 27. Give me a dink home. You don't see dinking anymore, do you?
You don't see dinking
anymore. It would be highly illegal.
Or sitting on the front bars.
Sitting on the handlebars.
Yeah.
With your feet. Where did your feet go? Sort of on the front forks.
Sort of on the front.
Yeah.
Often you'd see it at high school in the 70s. Good looking guy, good looking girl. He'd be giving his girlfriend a lift home on the handlebars.
I remember you'd say to the girls, you want a dink, and it was always a bit of a.
It's like jumping on my horse.
Yeah.
Dreamed of that.
Okay, and I saw a sticker on the back of a truck that was an advertisement for Northern Territory tourism. You know what it said?
Are you doing it now? No.
No. I think we talked about it.
Yeah, Northern we did.
Yeah. It said, see you.
In the
NT.
That's a bit rude.
That's not a, that.
Do you reckon a guy of our generation pass it not knowing what it meant? Good work there, Nigel.
Two cars ahead of me, and I'm looking at it going, that says what I think it says, and I couldn't see the middle two words.
It says the C-bomb.
Yeah, the C-bomb. Not big on it. It's one I don't use.
Young comics use it a fair bit.
It's the break glass word, surely.
Yeah, in a city room, it's sort of cool to say, g'day, hey, yeah, you're stupid, you know. But if you go into the roughest football club and you drop the C-bomb, you'll still get complaints.
Yeah.
Because someone will just go, hey. You might be in, the outskirts of Wagga Wagga, but you can't be saying that, mate.
Yeah.
But the younger kids don't mind it. It's like a term of endearment.
There's nowhere to go now after that.
No, there's
nowhere to go.
Except this podcast.
Hello and welcome to Somehow Related. And now please welcome your hosts, Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
I was listening to the music the other day, as was my wont.
Yeah.
It's good music to march to.
It is a bit marching.
And the only reason I say that is because I went to the, and you can ask me why I was there, but I went to the police graduation.
Oh, yeah. I know why.
Because
you were there.
I did
you
some
did
work.
A charity thing
a charity
him.
Thing for Graham Ashton, the Commissioner of Police, which means, yes, I'm green lighted. If I was to do something inappropriate, I would make a phone call and I wouldn't.
You're like
be
Neddy,
in any
what's
trouble.
His name in New South Wales in the 80s? Yeah. Ned, what's his name?
I could carry a weapon and they wouldn't pull me over.
You're like Roger Rogerson. You got that. Yeah.
Yeah. And why am I saying that? Oh, yes. And they were doing marching.
Oh, it's a bit of marching music.
Yeah, a bit of marching on, bit of do the thing and then march off again. And I had a crack at the marching while I was there. And they said I wasn't bad.
Oh, there you go.
It seemed a little patronising for me to, after the event, to be walking around the courtyard.
How many police graduated?
Oh, I haven't got the stats, but I think it was about 80.
Oh, 80.
And they do them every 2 weeks. But I saw an outdoor one with horses and bagpipes and
any short police? Because there used to be a height requirement. Now there's no height requirement.
Good question. A lot of nuggety, tough, you know.
Yeah.
Under the 5 foot,
under 6 foot, yeah.
A lot of big boys as well.
Oh, yeah,
big units. Yeah, and lots of women.
Multicultural?
Yep.
Yeah.
And they were also doing the PSOs.
Oh, yeah, the would-be police.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who, you talk to them, they go, you know what, it's not a bad gig, get on the train, get to do all the, you know, tough stuff, but you don't have to do the...
Yeah, the really bad stuff, really domestics bad stuff. And stuff. Well, there probably were domestics on the train.
Every 7 minutes. There's a whole new unit for domestic violence.
Oh, it's
terrible. Every 7 minutes. There's a lot of those ambulance shows on at the moment, isn't there?
Yeah, a lot of ambulance shows.
There's two Australian ones and there's a couple of UK ones.
Oh, yeah.
I got to say, I enjoy them.
Yeah, they are good.
Anyway, so why?
Well, the music.
Oh, the music, because of the marching. Yes, anyway.
We should get our subjects.
Yes.
Now, these are special subjects, I believe, Sam.
Thanks to Caroline for submitting this episode's topic. If you've got a topic suggestion, let us know using the email in the show notes or through the Somehow Related Facebook group. The topics are Peanuts Cartoon and Martin Luther King.
Ah.
What was her name?
Caroline.
Caroline. Good on you, Caroline.
And you join the Facebook group. I'm active in there a little bit. Certainly Sam's in there and Courtney, the producer, the other producer, is in there as well.
Ah.
So you've got to get involved if you're on Facebook.
Good on her for getting involved. And wonder how she found it. Wonder if she'd spoke to Sam. She's obviously got in contact with Sam.
What if Caroline's a real person or just another fake person like Sam, another robot?
Yeah.
Anyway, Peanuts. Peanuts, I love Peanuts.
Peanuts, that's Peanuts as in Charlie Brown.
I love both versions. Love the ones you can eat. I love Charlie Brown. I used to wear a Peanut shirt. Probably when I first met you, I had this great Peanut shirt with all the characters. And friend of yours, Kate Langbrook, used to call me a Christian because Schultz, the guy who drew Peanuts, was a Christian.
Peanuts,
and she maintained that it was a Christian comic strip.
It's the Simpsons of its time.
Yeah. Charlie Brown was great.
Was it ever funny?
Not that funny, but it had pathos. Maybe he was a loser.
Yeah.
Charlie Brown was a loser.
Wasn't as bad as Fred Bassett.
Oh, Fred Bassett.
It's depressing, wasn't it?
Fred Bassett. What an handicap. You wife-bashing fool, as Homer Simpson once called him. Handicap. You wife-bashing. And then there's Australia's own Snake Tales, which is still going, I believe.
Oh,
Garfield. Now, Peanuts. Peanuts stood above all of those, all right, I reckon. And I loved my favourite character, Pigpen. Pigpen was the guy. I've often been called Pigpen by my partner. He was the guy that used to walk around with a cloud of dust and dirt.
Oh, right.
Because he was just dirty and he was the best. And there was Lucy. Remember Lucy, the cute one, and Linus.
There was a member of security blanket?
Schroeder. Schroeder. That was Linus, I think, had the blanket.
Yeah.
And what was the name of the bird? Snoopy. See, I'm not a big fan of Snoopy. Because Snoopy went off on his own tangent, became famous in Japan and plays like that. And he's still very popular in plays. He's very cute, Snoopy.
Was Snoopy the one that flew the plane?
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't like any of that. I wanted to see Charlie be a loser.
I sadly read Sad Sack, which says a lot about me. Do you remember Sad Sack?
Yeah, I love Sad Sack. The soldier?
Yeah.
Yeah, I love Sad Sack.
What,
that was like Gomer Pyle a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was he sad?
Yeah, he was in the army. You'd be sad if you're in the army. Wasn't he in the army, Sad Sack?
Yeah, he was
in the army. Yeah. I love Sad Sack. And I love The Wizard of Id too. Remember The Wizard of Id?
Yeah.
They were funny.
So you would have read the Sunday papers.
I loved all the comics. I used to buy comics. I don't buy them anymore, but I used to. And my kids do still. Like Tintin and Asterix. I love all those ones when I was a kid. They were great. But Peanuts was up there.
But Peanuts would be, is your top shelf fine dining.
Yeah, but sort of middle of the road too.
Oh, really?
It wasn't that edgy, wasn't it? I mean, you look at Tintin, there's so much drinking and shooting and mental illness going on in there. It's unbelievable.
That's reassuring to the readers. Yeah. But it is reassuring that they're touching on mental illness, you know. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it was written in during the war, after the war, Tintin, so around that time. But, yeah, Captain Haddock is just swearing and basically drunk all the time. But there was no drinking peanuts because they were kids. They were like 10-year-olds. I think they were meant to be 10-year-olds, around 10, maybe yeah, 10 or 12.
So. Yeah.
And Schroeder, the one who liked music, who played the piano. I'm amazed I know so much about it. I haven't read Peanuts for years.
I wasn't big on any of those, but I was very big on Larson.
Oh, Greg Larson. Gary Larson.
Gary Larson.
Greg Larson's a comic.
Greg Larson.
I'm big on him too. But Gary Larson. Yeah, but Gary Larson, you would have been quite old though when you get into Gary Larson. He wasn't like a kid thing. That's an adult thing.
Because he had books, didn't he?
Yeah.
And he put out all those cards and everything.
That was the 90s, I reckon. That was the 80s. It would have been 90s,
yeah. Yeah. There's some classics in there.
What happened to Gary Larson?
I don't know. He just stopped.
Did he stop or did he die?
Yeah.
Sam? Gary Larson, the cartoonist, because he was American or Canadian. I think he was American. Yeah.
Bummer of a birthmark, Hal. Do you know that one?
Yeah, yeah. And what's it got on it?
It's just the deer's got a birthmark right on his. He's got a target, which is in the shape of a.
That's right. Is he a deer or something
like
that?
Yeah, yeah. Bummer of a birthmark.
And it's got. And I remember the one Institute for the Incredible Gifted, and there's a kid trying to get in the door that says pull, and he's pushing it. He was unbelievable. Remember when he came out, it was like, bang, Greg Larson.
Oh, yeah.
Greg Larson.
Well, you still can buy the
Gary. I keep going Gray. Gary. Gary or Greg?
Gary Larson.
Gary Larson.
Yeah.
You can still buy the...
The cards?
Or the calendars.
That's the only collection that I have. I've collected all his books.
Wow.
And if I open it up to any page, it always makes my day feel better.
And the other great one, which I've heard stand-ups do too, but I'm sure Gary Larson's first one to do it was people drive past and go moo to cows, and the cow says the other cow, that cow's driving a car. That's so good.
I like the one where the guy's working at the donut shop, and the owner's going through the till, and the owner's going, God, we're moving over like 3,000 units and we're not making any money. And you look at the attendant and he's really, really fat.
Yeah.
With a guilty look on his face.
Okay, hey. Sam.
Gary Larson is apparently very ill. He also doesn't believe in the internet and asks his fans not to repost cartoons.
Wow, okay. So he's sick and...
Fair enough, though. If he doesn't want it to be reposted, he did it. It was of its time, so let it be what it is.
Someone's got to do a movie or a teleseries about him. Because that would be great to see. Because they've done a series about who was the other guy that was similar to him who came later, who was in a wheelchair and did I think it's Gary or Callahan. You know that guy. And they had the classic one was the wheelchair's tipped over in the desert and there's like some scrapings and the two guys following on horses go, he won't get far. He was great too, Callahan. Yeah, they made a movie about him.
Because were a lot of them in Playboy.
I think originally, for sure. Interesting. Well, Schultz wouldn't get involved in play with that because he was a Christian, apparently.
Okay.
And
what was Martin Luther King?
Well, he was a black civil rights activist.
Yeah.
Who got assassinated.
Was he Junior? Martin Luther King Jr.
He might have been. He was the one that said, I have a dream.
He'd been to the promised land and seen... Been to the top of the mountain.
Yeah, they've seen... Interesting about that speech, I remember reading about that once, that he worked it up with another guy and he just didn't get up there. He's like a stand-up. He had used that several times
throughout
the
up.
Week. He worked it up and then when
like
he...
A bit. It's a bit. I got a bit.
Yeah, I got a... Relax, guys. I'm going to take this crowd. Here we go. I have a dream. And then bang, smashed it.
Because all of those guys, a lot of them, like Obama, they have a certain rhythm.
Yeah.
Which is... What do you call it? Like a preacher, sort of.
Yes.
Malcolm X is the same. Yeah, they really know how to get a crowd going.
Oh yeah.
And the message is stronger, given that it's done in that music or that rhythm.
Well, you see some comics use it, like Chris Rock's a bit like that, but also Sam Kinison.
Yeah.
Remember Sam Kinison?
Oh,
he used to scream. But he was a preacher.
Yeah. Yep.
He was a preacher, and so he used all these preaching techniques in stand-up.
Yep, and just hit the button at the right time.
Yeah.
Before she was doing that stuff about going to get married. Here's the face you're going to see for the next 30. Ah!
Would have loved to have seen him.
Oh, yeah, he passed away. Yeah, had a pretty bit of a rock and roll life. Martin Luther King, civil rights, won a Nobel Prize, apparently.
Yeah.
What for, I don't know.
Something to do with peace. Yeah. Something to do with, you know. Well, I don't know. I don't know what the connection would be between Martin Luther King and peanuts. Because I know Schultz was a white guy. He sounds, it must be German background with a name like Schultz. Schultz. Sounds like he's from Hogan's Heroes.
Have you got any inkling? I reckon I've got half an inkling.
All right. Well, why don't we have some music?
Do you want to have some music?
Why don't we have Martin Luther's famous speech?
Yeah, why not?
Let's hear the famous speech.
So, but you pretend that you were on before him, right?
Oh, okay, I'll do the warm up,
and then you go back into the
room. As I've discussed before, Adolf Hitler had a warm up guy.
Rudolf Hess. Yeah,
Hess was the warm up guy.
Yeah, he'd go out. So you pretend that you've just been on, okay, right?
No, I'm going to bring him on. I'll bring him on.
I want to hear someone talk to him before he goes on to explain what the crowd's like.
All right.
So you come back in, you're talking to Martin now.
Martin, they are red hot out there, mate. They're ready for you. They didn't give me much because I'm a white guy from Australia, but I reckon it's your audience.
Yeah.
They're a headliner audience. They're not here for me.
That's not a very good mouth. What's his voice like? What would his voice be like?
I don't know.
Do the dream stuff. Do the dream stuff.
Yeah, just do the dream stuff, Martin.
Should I open with that?
Definitely open with that.
Right.
Talk about, you know, being black as opposed to being white.
Yep.
I did stuff about the suburbs of Melbourne. They didn't like it at all.
I've got some stuff about Promised Land. How would that sound?
I reckon that'd be good.
Yep.
Right. But definitely hit them hard. There's a lot of people out there.
Yeah.
Hit them hard. Make an impact. Don't be on too long, though, because, you know, we've got to get the bus back to the hotel. I don't want to hang around because it could be some kind of riot. And
I'm a bit worried about that hotel, by the way.
You don't worry about the hotel.
That's where it happened.
Oh, that's where Martin got killed. Well,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Let's not rush back to the hotel, Martin, because I got a bad feeling about tonight. But anyway, good luck with the speech, and we'll see you on the other side, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Cheers,
thanks.
Bye.
I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal.
Powerful stuff.
Good. You reckon he would have written that himself?
He wrote it with another guy, apparently. That's what I read years ago. I remember reading about it. He worked it up with another guy, one of his writers.
Because I know that a friend of mine, Jeff Stilson, hello Jeff, he's an American comedian, he wrote for Clinton.
Oh, he wrote for Clinton?
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah. Did he write the line, "I did not have sexual"? Was it relations with that woman? He didn't write that one.
But he does tell the story that Clinton was a little bit flirty with his wife.
Jeff's wife?
Mm.
Yeah, hands on, I'd say. That doesn't surprise me at all.
Mm.
Now, Jeff Stilson's, I mean, he lived here for a while because he married an Australian.
Yes, that's right.
But he's moved back to LA, isn't he? He's working over there now.
He's working
there. He set up the Late Late Show with James Corden. That was his job.
I know.
He auditioned people.
He was the executive producer or something.
We didn't get the call, but anyway, next time.
Okay. I'm going to say that Peanuts didn't do anything political.
No.
But the one person that they mentioned in a cartoon, and I haven't read this cartoon, by the way, and they quote, Peanuts quotes Martin Luther King. Does a quote from Martin Luther King. And that's the only one they do.
Right. Well, I'm gonna say Martin Luther King and Charles Schultz were childhood friends, and idea for Peanuts, Martin's idea.
But that's good.
Schultz stole it.
See, Martin said, "Look, I can write a speech," and you know what? You know how we talk about that stuff about me having a blanket and you having whatever. You should write that up, and he's going, "Okay, good idea."
I'm gonna do that.
And they were eating Peanuts.
They were eating Peanuts at the time. What are we gonna call it?
Yeah,
we'll call it Peanuts.
Mm.
All right, Sam, what is the answer?
In the month following Dr. Martin Luther King assassination in the USA, Charles Schultz, the creator of Peanuts, received a letter from Harriet Glickman and mother of three in Los Angeles. She began in the letter, "Since the death of Martin Luther King, I've been asking myself what I can do to change those conditions in our society which led the assassination and which contribute to the vast sea of misunderstanding, fear and violence." And she implored Schultz to include a Negro character in the comic, and she felt the comic had tremendous importance in shaping the unconscious attitudes of our kids. Schultz was apprehensive at first, but after several letters he was persuaded to create Franklin. Franklin first appeared on the beach in a cartoon in July 1968 with Charlie Brown. Schultz received a letter from a Southern editor who said something about, "I don't mind you having a black character, but please don't show them in school together." Schultz never responded. Franklin went to school with all the other characters in the comic strip. Glickman told the news website Quartz, "You wanted to do something, you felt powerless in a situation like that. I thought this might be a nice little idea. We've included links in the show notes."
Oh, that.
Good on him.
That is amazing.
Good on him.
So he added a black character.
But it was a kid, was it?
It was a kid. Thanks, Caroline. Thank you for
excellent.
Tidbit.
That's please, if anybody else has got something.
Get involved.
In
the Facebook group.
Hope she's listening to this.
Thanks. It's been Dave O'Neill and Glenn Robbins. We didn't even say that at the start, but we're saying it now.
You have been listening to Somehow Related with Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
Then in the 60s, that was a big deal to put a black person in a white comic strip.
Especially if someone writes in and says, can you? Because you'd never do that if you were, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, except we're doing it with this show. People have written in and we're doing this, these two topics. But in a sitcom or a cart, in any sort of creative work, you rarely take
from
advice
listeners.
From listeners. Oh,
God, no.
The great unwashed. No, not at all.
It's all about your ideas. You're crazy.
Oh, well.
That's pretty amazing, isn't it?
Martin Luther King went to the promised land, or saw the went to the top of the mountain, had the idea for Peanuts.
Yeah.
No, she did.
No, he didn't. No,
hang on. I messed it up. Gosh.
No, something like that. Something like that. But he, you know, it's interesting, isn't it?
I remember my dad used to bring home, oh, God, it's going to sound like the war years, but he'd bring home Peanuts in their shell.
Yeah, we have them sometimes with the kids.
Right, so you can get them?
Yeah, you can still get them. Because they enjoy cracking them open.
Yeah, that's the game, isn't it? And then you have a big pile of shells and then you like the...
Oh, peanuts are great. Peanuts are a great flavour.
And I think they're very healthy for you.
Yeah.
Very good for you. I know that I'm, you know, on my FODMAP, I'm allowed to have peanuts, but I can't have walnuts.
Where did you get this map done? Was it at the mall or...?
Yeah, I mean, it's good on you. It's a GPS. It's on your phone.
On
now.
Southland or where was it? Did you have to have blood tests for this or something? Or is it a proper thing?
I'm not thinking of the joke. What have you got? Well, you got nuts on the wall. Do you know that joke?
No.
What have you got? Well, you got nuts on the wall. Nuts I shouldn't do this, by the way. Why? But you can work it out. What have you got? We got nuts on the wall. Walnuts.
Walnuts.
What do you got? Well, you got nuts on your chin.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Classic. Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Do you know what it is?
Yeah, I know what it is. You've got. Anyway, we won't go into that.
Sam, did you get it?
Sam. Don't get Sam involved in your filthy nuts jokes.
That's not appropriate. Great, stand outside the room. You get sent out for that.
Anyway, peanuts, you know, they're not a nut, they're a legume, as
you're showing
pedants like to tell you. But they are great. Whatever they are, they're great. I love peanuts.
And I cannot... Now, is it true that if you have peanut butter...
I love peanut butter.
It never goes off.
Oh, it goes off. It goes a bit rancid. You know what, hey, what food did they find in the Egyptian tombs that wasn't off? I'm going to give you one go at this. It is a spread. You would have had it. Using food, not using
where will that
in the Egyptian pyramids because it does not go off. It's a spread. It's not Vegemite. And I think Tutankhamun was having a bit of Nutella or Vegemite.
What can't go
off?
Can I ask Sam?
No, you're not asking Sam. Ask me. You know why it can't go off? The amount of sugar in it. And this is
what. But how long was it hanging around for?
It's been since the pyramids. So it's not Vegemite. I give you. It's not peanut butter. It's not Nutella. It's not almond spread. It's not chocolate spread. It's what cavemen would find and eat as a sweet treat. But getting it is quite dangerous. Let me say that much. Honey.
Of course. Yes. God, it's right in front of me.
Yeah, they found Egypt in the tombs, you know. It's probably fake honey. It's probably just corn syrup. It's probably some of that fake
Makula.
Australian
what is
honey.
It? Makuta, the New Zealand one.
Manuka.
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 Which they research has shown it doesn't do anything for you.
Yeah, I know.
Just a bit of something.
Honey's beautiful, though. I don't have it much.
It is just full of sugar.
Just sugar. Oh, yum.
But I reckon that's the one spread, peanut butter, I'll always have.
Yeah? Is that on your food map?
Well, and I've been known to have a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Oh, yeah. Like jam. You mean jam.
Yeah, but you got to call it peanut butter.
No, jelly. My kids have that.
Do they?
Yeah.
No big deal? No big woof?
They love it. They love it.
Hmm.
But we never had that as kids. We never would put peanut butter and jam together. There's no way.
That was a bit of a classic low-end lunchtime thing.
Ask me this. Are you crunchy or smooth?
I'll go either, but I will go smooth.
Oh.
And isn't that how... Wasn't it peanut butter that made Mr. Ed talk?
Really? Oh, yeah, when they used to... The horse, yeah, they put peanut butter in his mouth, yeah. The famous Mr. Ed.
And what about the monkeys that could talk? Who were they? the
oh yeah, there was a whole
Lancelot. Yeah. And they would put and they put peanut butter on the roof.
Yeah,
that's tell you terrible. What, peanut butters. That's terrible.
Yeah, peanut butter is the one thing that will get peanut butter will get chickens as well. I think they love it too.
So. What do you mean? They'll eat peanut butter.
This guy asked me to look after his chickens.
Well, oh, hang on. Whoa, this sounds like an episode of something.
And
where do you live?
I was living in Footscray at the time. Well, in Seddon, which is the suburb next to Footscray. You know that
in,
suburb.
In Melbourne?
Yeah, western suburb, inner west.
Yeah.
Normal suburban street. This guy had chickens. No, Jane, it was a woman. Look after my chickens. I'm like, yeah, no worries. Because you just had to feed them. But then some of them got out into the street.
Yeah.
And then I had to chase them. No. And I didn't know what to do. And the guy across the road was a country boy. He was great. He goes, this is what you do. He got a can of cat food, opened it up, and they came running. They love cat food. And then he just grabbed them like a farm boy and chucked them over the fence. Because I was I couldn't pick them up. I chased them. It was like some, anyway.
Benny Hill sort of.
Benny Hill sketch.
Mm.
Chickens, they're pretty full on.
Jeez, I've learned some things today.
Oh, it's been a
my drive home's going to be.
It's been an absolute journey.
Yeah.
If you made it this far, check the show notes for more information and other shows on the Nearly Podcast Network.
Hi, I've just ducked into the studio after Dave and Glenn. My name's Emma, and I've got a podcast too. If you're into true crime, then check out Murder Archives. It's about the death of Norma Rees-McLeod in Toorak in 1929, and we're looking to get your input. The little courtroom at the Bluestone City Morgue was crowded on that Friday morning in November 1929. Its doors shut fast to quieten the din of Melbourne's rail yards and tram traffic, and to keep out the 30-degree heat working its way through the room. The 1880s building was shabby, dark and dismal. The courtroom was cramped and airless. Yet despite this oppressive atmosphere, the crowd was abuzz with gossip about what the inquest into Norma McLeod's death might reveal. Every seat was taken, and for latecomers, it was standing room only. The opportunity for a glimpse into the well-guarded private lives of Melbourne's elite was just too good to resist. Against the noisy backdrop of city life, people craned their necks to listen, eyes fixed on each witness in turn. Just near the coroner's bench sat Norma's mother, Edith McLeod. In front of the heated gathering, the weight of recent events sat squarely on her shoulders. She faltered as she spoke. By the end of her cross-examination, her composure was gone. Edith desperately denied claims she'd fought with her daughter. Sitting in the packed room, she sobbed loudly.
My daughter was all the world to me.
She buried her face in her hands, and a dead silence fell across the court. Welcome to Murder Archives, where we re-examine mysterious deaths, reimagine private lives, and give voice to long-forgotten victims of crime. Search for Murder Archives where you're listening right now.